This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Big questions for big oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Oil testimony continues today on Capitol Hill. So far, there's been a lot of finger-pointing over which company is most at fault for the oil rig explosion and leak in the Gulf of Mexico. Yesterday, senators grilled the oil executives. Today, it's the House of Representatives' turn. Here to talk about this with us is our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale. He joins us live. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Stacey.
John, we've heard all the context now, but will lawmakers focus on any specific problems today?
Well, it became clear yesterday that something happened with the cement that surrounds the wellhead on the ocean floor. The cement work had only been completed just a couple days before the explosion, and apparently not all the final testing of the integrity of that cement had been done. In yesterday's hearing, Stephen Newman, the CEO of the drilling rig's owner, Transocean, tried to steer congressional attention in that direction.
The one thing we do know is that on the evening of April 20th, there was a sudden catastrophic failure of the cement, the casing, or both. Without a failure of one of those elements, the explosion could not have occurred.
So, John, it sounds like each company is pointing their finger at the other company. Do you see the blame game continuing today?
Yes, with an additional source of blame. We hear for the first time today from the manufacturer of the blowout preventer, a company called Cameron. Mm-hmm. That's a heavy piece of equipment that's it's designed to avoid just the surge of oil and gas that caused the explosion and ultimately the spill. The other companies yesterday said that the failure of that blowout preventer also contributed to the catastrophe.
What could come out of these hearings?
Well, the aim is to have higher standards, perhaps more testing, more redundant backup plans for this type of drilling that's taking place at deeper and deeper levels.
John Dimsdale in Washington. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
The price of oil today is down around $76 a barrel. That on worries the debt crisis in Europe could worsen and slow global demand. And the markets are mixed this morning. London's FTSE is off less than a tenth of a percent. Germany's DAX is up 1.25%. U.S. markets lost a little ground yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell a third of a percent to close at 10,748. The price of gold has hit a record high, $1,234 an ounce. A lot of that has to do with worries about the euro. Gold is considered a safe haven when currencies look unstable. Morgan Stanley seems to be the next in line to the regulatory woodshed. The Wall Street Journal reports federal prosecutors are looking into whether Morgan Stanley bet against its investors and misled clients about derivatives deals. If that sounds familiar, it's almost exactly what lawmakers have been accusing Goldman Sachs of doing. A trial going on in Minnesota right now is testing whether one of the country's biggest banks owes its clients for getting them into some of those risky investments. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
Big bank knows its investments are risky, but doesn't come clean. So far, it's playing out like a Midwestern Goldman Sachs, complete with embarrassing emails. Mike Cerisi is the attorney for three foundations and a state workers' comp fund suing Wells Fargo. He showed the jury internal Wells Fargo documents debating whether to tell clients about their sour investments. One refers to investors as hostages.
Their CEO and chairman testified that the investments that they made into certain areas were ones that took enormous risk. They've also described them as being goofy investments.
Cerisi says the foundation signed on for investments that were low risk and easy to cash out. Instead, they got subprime mortgages, commercial paper, and Lehman Brothers. Wells Fargo says these foundations are sophisticated institutional investors. They saw the fine print, signed on the dotted line, and knew there was risk. Terry Fruth is a securities lawyer in Minneapolis. He says the foundations weren't the only ones feeling clueless.
The delicious irony is that the biggest institution in this game, Wells Fargo, didn't understand what they were doing.
In fact, Wells Fargo says most of the money lost in this particular investment pool was its own. Fruth says the jury in St. Paul has to answer one of the toughest questions from the financial crisis, when everyone involved is out of their depth.
Who should be responsible under the law in knowing what they're doing?
If the answer is the bank, Fruth is ready for the lawsuit floodgates to open. He represents another nonprofit lining up to sue Wells Fargo. In St. Paul, I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
You can use your smartphone to find just about anything these days. Your friends, the nearest pizza place, and now your friends and the nearest pizza place can find you too. It's called location-based marketing, and the world's biggest social network is about to get in on the game. Janet Babin reports.
Facebook hasn't revealed much about its new service, but it would be the biggest player in location-based marketing. Larry Weber is chairman of marketing services company W2. He says geolocation could help Facebook's 400 million users find each other.
You want to know where your friends are, or, gee, I graduated from this college in 1992. I wonder if anybody I graduated with is in New York today.
Businesses would like to know who's in New York today, too, and just about everywhere else.
Retail is about location and mindset, so it gets two of those down, and it's facilitated by groups of friends. That's a lot going for it.
That's Greg Warren, an executive with MediaVest, a media buying firm. He says with Facebook's new service, advertisers could target people nearby and offer them deals to get them in the door. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, the Mexican government has been trying to get citizens to register their cell phones with the state for months. Mexico was hoping the registry would help combat kidnappings and other crimes. People who didn't register risked having their phones disconnected. Nearly a third of Mexicans refused, and it looks like that might have been a smart move. Personal data from Mexican state registries showed up for sale at a Mexican flea market, including home addresses and photographs. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.